Let us turn to Psalm 67, God's saving help to the nations. We thank God for the salvation in the person and the work of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know that next Sunday is the Palm Sunday, where we remember the entry of our Lord Jesus Christ to the city of Jerusalem, the beginning of the Passion Week, to remember his suffering and his sacrifice for our sin at the cross. So this psalm prepare our hearts as we anticipate God become a man to be the Savior of the world, to save the people from all kindred and all tongues, all nations, so that the nations of the world will worship him to regard the living and true God, the Savior, as their God, so that they turn away from their spiritual darkness. In the Bible, in the New Testament, we read, "For God so loved the world, and God intended to save the people of the world through the witness of his people." In the Old Testament, God has chosen Israel as his witnessing nation, that Abraham and his family to be the witnessing nation to the surrounding nations, so that people may come to the kingdom of light, to serve, to fear the living and true God. But it's very sad, the people in the Old Testament, by and large, they do not think so. They do not function as a light to the world, as God intended. They do not want to witness to the surrounding nations. But we see that God has chosen a man to write this psalm. He have the vision of the world mission, to see God show mercy to his nation, to the witnessing nation Israel, so that they can be witnesses to the surrounding nations, so that other people may come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the whole world is sick with sin. They are helpless. We are helpless. Unless God be merciful to us, we are helpless, we are lost in sin. And God save us so that we hope, we pray that God will show mercy to others. They'll be saved from their lostness, from living a life that is against God's will and on the way to the path of destruction. So we see God's saving grace visited his people in the Old Testament times, so that the same saving grace can stream out to our neighbors. We see a small picture of this in the book of Ruth. Though God's people have disobeyed him, but God chose the family of Ruth's husband to show grace to the non-Jewish people. We see a glimpse of God's saving grace to the Gentiles in the book of Ruth. God's saving grace visited his people so that the same saving grace can stream out to our neighbors. And this is what God had promised to Abraham in Genesis 12. "I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." This is God's will. And this is God's calling for Abraham and his family. And we see verse 1 of Psalm 67 is adapted to respond to the blessings in Numbers chapter 6. We used to hear the minister pronounce the Aaronic blessings in Numbers chapter 6 at the end of service. And we see verse 1 is a response to the benediction. "God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us." You see, I used to think of this verse when I travel to the church in the morning, when the sunlight shine on my face. I was brought to memory of this verse. "Cause God's face to shine upon us Sometimes it's so bright, I cannot see clearly. You see? What is the meaning? That is the idea of for God to promise to protect and to care for us, to show, to cause His face to shine upon us, and ask God to protect and to care for us. So it is for the worshippers to pray for themselves by changing you to us. It is more than asking God for a good harvest. In the verses later we see, then shall the earth yield her increase. Of course, there is nothing wrong with expecting material blessings from the Lord, the blessings of food. But this is more than asking God for a good harvest. It seeks the presence and the approval of God. May God be to His people like the glory and the comfort of light. So God bless His people with food, with good life, the necessities of life. And God will use His people to be the, may God use His people to be the faithful gospel witnesses. See, God intended to use His people as witnesses in a place that are surrounded by non-believers, non-believing nation. Ye are my witnesses, say the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved, and I have shown there was no strange God among you, that ye are my witnesses, said the Lord, that I am God. This is the will of God for God's people to be faithful witness, so that other people who are in spiritual darkness, who are worshipping those who are non-gods, may turn to their living God and Savior. And God have expressed His long-suffering and patience by winking at the transgression of these people. God did not judge the Gentiles immediately. God have been forbearing to the Gentiles for a long time, and hoping and using His people, the Israelites, to witness to the surrounding nations. And the surrounding nations were to look at God's chosen people and witness how blessed they are, because they have the law of God. They have the righteous law of God. And the Lord will bless them with fruitful plantations if they were to obey the Lord. So when the non-believing neighbors saw the blessings of God, saw the righteous law of the Lord who are ruling the lives of God's people, they'll be touched, they'll be moved to know God a bit further. Then they'll come to the saving knowledge of the Lord. So to be saved from spiritual ignorance, worshipping man-made gods and lawlessness. We know from the Old Testament that some of the neighboring nations, they do child sacrifice. You see, they kill a child just to sacrifice to their God, to their gods. And they have a lot of terrible practices, lawless, immoral practices that they inherited from their ancestors. So God have planted His people in this location so that God's people will be His witnesses, faithful witnesses, so that other people, some people from the Gentiles, may come to the saving knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we see that the psalmist pray for other nations to turn to God from verses 3 to 5. That the surrounding nations will turn from the spiritual darkness to worship the living and true God. So when a person is saved, a person naturally yearns to witness to other nations. To witness to other nations doesn't mean to change them, to have the same culture, but to serve and embrace the living and true God, to fear Him, to obey His law, to obey His will, so that the whole world will be reunited under the one true God. We know that God made man. We all have the same ancestors. All human beings come from Adam and Eve. But we know that the majority have departed from the will of God. Yeah? Actually, all have lost in sin. And God have saved a small number of people to be His faithful witnesses. Even among the small number of faithful witnesses, some have departed from the way. From the way of the Lord, from the worship and service of the living and true God. We look at the church membership. Not every Christian family have faithful children, isn't it? Some children will waver, some children will stray, some have embraced other faith. Some have followed the way of the world, the way of destruction. It's a sad thing, but it's true. So we know that the witnesses of God face many challenges. We all need the strength of the Lord, the grace of the Lord to sustain us as faithful witnesses. We pray that our unbelieving neighbors or the unbelieving foreign nationals that God has brought into our midst will come to believe the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we pray that those who are under our care will turn from their wayward way to the way of the Lord, so that we will maintain as a bright witness in the world. There will be salt and light in the world. And the true God will receive our praise, and their praise means the new converts, those who have embraced the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And may the will of God rule over them. You see, the book of Genesis opened with a promise to Abraham and his family that God will bless the world through them with His saving health. And in the end of the book of the Bible, we see that God received worship from people from different nationality, different kindred, and different tongue. You see, there is an echo from the last book of the Bible. And God have established a new body called the Christians, the church, with the believing Jews and the believing Gentiles. And God will rule with justice and mercy. That's why the nations will be glad and sing with joy when the king rule over the land with justice and mercy. The people will rejoice. The people will sing praises. They'll be glad. They are happy. So let us pray again for those who are outside the Lord Jesus Christ to receive His saving health. We know that it is not easy. And those who have tried to witness to the foreign national have faced a lot of difficulty. William Carey from England, who tried to reach out to the Indians, he faced a great difficulty, a lot of hurdles. The hurdles first start from England that prevent him to witness to the people in the foreign land. Another missionary from England also faced a great hurdle as he tried to reach out to the mainland Chinese. David Livingstone also faced a lot of natural hurdles as he tried to witness to the Africans. But today, with the moving or the intermingling of the multinationals, thanks to the transportation, the modern transportation, we see modern transport have caused many people to come to visit one another. We may not be able to reach the foreign land, but God has brought foreign nationals to our midst. We see people that we hardly see before, but now we can see easily. How are we going to reach out to them? You see, for formerly you think of going to Myanmar is quite a distant, even though not too far, quite a distant place. And nowadays God brought a lot of Myanmar to our midst. How can we reach out to the unbelieving Myanmar, for example? You see? So we pray that God will work His way. Sometimes we do not know how. But God will use us if we start praying, okay, so that we can offer a bit of help to contribute to the gospel outreach of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us pray without ceasing. This is to emphasize the importance and urgency for the people who are non-Christians to receive saving health. And Jesus, the divine physician, come to save people. He come to save those who are sick with sin. You see, the Messiah who suffered for us, who died for us at the cross, is to heal us from our sin. You see, it is not so much of a physical healing, but rather the spiritual healing. So that all the patients, all the sick men, all the sick women will come to the divine physician to receive spiritual health. Spiritual health. So that we will be reconciled to God and reconciled to one another. So our society, so that the nations will be restored to the state that God intended human beings to have. Those love the Lord with all their strength, all their might, with all their mind. And to love their neighbors as themselves. As you look at the world now, the world is in a chaos. Nations are fighting nations, neighbors are fighting neighbors, killing one another. There's no peace. Let us pray that God will send His peace to the world, that people may know Him and fear Him. And may the rulers of the earth know that there's a God in heaven that rules over the affairs of men. We know that there are not many Jews in the Old Testament that reach out to the Gentiles. Sometimes we see a few. And some are commissioned against their will, like Prophet Jonah, to reach out to the people in Nineveh. And Jonah did not want to go, but God sent him and God chastised him so that he will go and preach the message of repentance to the wicked Ninevites. And they repented. And Apostle Paul, in the Old Testament, at first he was a conservative Jew. He was a jealous Jew for his own Jewish religion. He is strongly opposed to those Jews who embraced Jesus Christ as a Savior, as a Messiah. But God met him along the way, along his way to persecute the believing Jews. And God turned him around to reach out to the Gentiles so that the people in places like Ephesus, they may come to the saving knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The people in Ephesus repented of their sin, turned away from the idolatry, witchcraft. They gave up their books or their manuals on witchcraft. They discarded their idols. They caused a big business loss to the idolatrous business in the city of Ephesus. So it caused a hoo-ha in the city because those in the business, they want to remove Apostle Paul. Because this man caused a big loss in our income. They want to get rid of him. After Apostle Paul served the Lord, preaching the gospel in the city for about 2 years. So, as a result, some will be saved. Some will come to fear the Lord. Some will come to serve the Lord. Some will come to glorify the Lord. They will worship the same God as Abraham. The saved will acknowledge God and enjoy His just and merciful rule. You see, the non-Christians are watching us. If we were to follow the will of God in the Bible by loving God and loving men, the non-Christians will be impressed. One day they may tell you, "I also want to know your God. Can I follow you to the church? Or can you ask your minister or your elder or your deacon come and tell me about a good story the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I have been observing your life after staying next to you for 20 years. I've seen the peace of God with you. God is with you. God is blessing your family. I want to know. Can you tell me more? You see? So we thank God for that. If that was so. So we see that God has blessed the people with good harvest. The present harvest as an assurance that God will save the nations. God has blessed His people, the godly Jews, with good harvest. You see, God bless us materially so that we can bless others. God bless us materially so that we will contribute to the cause of the gospel. Let us do not be like the rich fool. The rich fool say, all these harvests belong to me. I will store in the storeroom, then I enjoy myself. I think some people have store their storeroom with so much wealth that even they can enjoy to the fourth generation. But God, this is not God's will. God has blessed us so that we will contribute towards His work. That we have a part in the salvation of the nations. So that we have a part in the salvation of the people in East Malaysia, apart from West Malaysia, and other places. You see, certain countries have contributed very much to the missions of the world. God has blessed them. Like South Korea, God has blessed them. South Korea has sent out plenty of missionaries around the world. They are number two, apart from the United States of America. In the material way, they also contribute a big sum. Even in Africa, you see a lot of South Korean missionaries. And they have contributed so much so that the government keep a watch on the church. So let us pray that God will use us and use our resources, the harvest that God has blessed us, to contribute to the saving health of the nations. The harvest we're celebrating is a token of God's blessing to us, so that through us, other nations will receive the saving health. So, we see Jesus Christ reach out to other, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ reached out to the Samaritan woman. The Lord Jesus Christ reached out to the Greeks through the introduction of His disciple. The Lord Jesus Christ reached out to the Romans, the centurion, called the Roman centurion. Okay? By providence. So God have reached out to the Canaanites also. God the Son. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ says, let us pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers. So as we pray for God to send forth laborers, God may send us, isn't it? God may not send us to far distance, but God may send us to local, to the different town in this peninsula. God may send us to Terengganu or send us to Ipoh to minister, to help in the cause of the gospel. So the harvest is regarded as a token of the total grace of God. You see? What is visible is a token of the invisible blessings. So let us pray that God's saving mercy will be known throughout the earth, known throughout this peninsula, known throughout Malaysia and beyond. For Christians today, this saving power has been displayed in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord continues to work even outwardly. The messenger of the gospel had been hindered. Like the Apostle Paul when he was in prison. But the gospel, the power of God, still worked through the gospel, even though the Apostle Paul could not walk around to visit churches. God still worked. He came to the world to suffer and to die for our sin at the cross. And He rose again from the tomb. When we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, when we preach the faithful gospel of the death, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins, and he was buried and he rose again. We preach this gospel faithfully. God may use our little effort to bring people to come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we lift up the serpent, when Moses lift up the serpent in the wilderness, and those who look by faith, they are healed. Isn't it? So in the same way, when we lift up the message of the cross, God saved different people. God saved multinational. God saved the Jews. God saved the Romans. God saved the Greeks. God saved the Canaanites. May God use us. For God so loved the world that he provided saving health for all nations. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy saving health. Lord, we thank thee, first of all, thou hast saved us. May thou move in our hearts to have a desire to make an effort and to cooperate in the church corporate effort to save others. Lord, we pray that thou may open our eyes and see the needs of the multinationals that have brought into our presence. May thou grant us wisdom and grant us a gift of speech. Give us, see how we can present the gospel to them according to thy way, so that they may come to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.